Good evening. Good evening. I am happy to be here today. What I want to say first is that I do echo that song, "Our God is Awesome." God is good. Lest I forget to acknowledge the wonderful things the Lord has done for me. I live a blessed life, not because I'm good and not because I deserve it, but because the Lord knows how to be merciful. He knows how to bless us. He knows how to look and see to every one of our needs. And I've been such a recipient of that throughout my life. God is good. And, I said it when I preached last week, this song, every time we're in the car, we play it. This morning is, so we're getting ready for church. I'm playing it on the guitar, playing it on the ukulele. All my life, all I know, God's been good to my soul. And I'm going to sing wherever I go. I don't want to forget that. I don't want to forget to say it. We find ourselves overwhelmed with things in life. And I think sometimes the best thing we can do when we feel like we're treading water, we feel like it's too much, is to sit down and remember all of the reasons why God is good and how you've been a recipient of it. This has nothing to do with what I want to preach tonight. But I do want to make sure I say that and hope that you remember that. God is good. I'll be honest with you that this morning I didn't know what I was going to preach. Didn't have a sermon ready. I had some thoughts, and I've got notes and all that throughout my phone and all that. Things that I've thought about and studied and prayed and had time in contemplation and all that. Things that when the time is right, I want to discuss it. But my thoughts were completely changed, and I'm going to try to not turn into a blubbering fool tonight. But my thoughts were changed this morning when I got a text message that our brother had passed. It wasn't unexpected. Lived a very full 91 years. Been places, seen things, been involved in things that I don't know that I'll ever have an opportunity. Been able to be at the forefront of the work of endeavoring to battle for the souls of men. I was telling my uncle this morning, the last several years I've tried to be more intentional of visiting with some of our older folks and trying to pass myself around. Make sure I had time to talk to them, to listen to them. I don't get around as often as I ought to. I was really happy the last several years. Our brother Don, he got to the place where it was very difficult for him to travel, and so he stayed home. And, we had so many opportunities in the afternoon on Sunday to sit out at the picnic tables and just to talk. I'd never known him like that before. To be able to hear him and him telling me of stories of him growing up and then go and talk to my granddad and hear the same stories from a different perspective and all of these things. Oh, it was so good. And I found myself this morning as learned of his passing, and as I was texting his son, so what a bittersweet day. It's hard to feel justified in sadness when you see a life well lived go on to what I know he was convinced of his reward. And as I sat and I thought this morning, I didn't know what I was going to preach. It became very clear to me a message that I need to bring tonight. And as I thought about it, when I look around within our church, I look around within our local here. I had a conversation the other day with one of our brothers as I was over at his home. And we were talking about this. The pillars of our local here. And I'm going to preach about this, and I'm certainly going to liken our brother Don to this, and it's not to bring any sort of praise or honor to him or to others like my grandfather, my grandmother, our sister Betty, some of these others who have been here and have supported this church, but it is important that we recognize the Lord calls us to take a place in His gospel. I've thought of this for many years, and I found myself throughout my ministry looking around, and as challenges and things come up, I thought to myself, boy, I'm glad. Glad Granddad's here. He can handle that. Glad Don's here. Don can handle that. Boy, I'm glad Gordon's here. That's all him. You know, and brothers travel. They are going to different places and being involved in the work of the Lord. And I find myself now where, oh goodness, Aaron and I, you know, in the pastorship, we got weights on us. And I find myself in this position. A pillar bears weight. I looked real quick as if we need to know what a definition of a pillar is. But why not? A supporter, that which sustains or upholds. That on which some superstructure rests. Seems like a silly thing for me to tear up about. But I thought about this morning as I considered what I wanted to come here to a local that we are mourning, and it's appropriate. What do I call us to? What does the pastor stand up here and encourage us to? And that is to be a pillar within this church. And I want to talk about this. I hope not to be long. I don't obviously have a PowerPoint or anything. We're going to go old school, and I'm going to flip through my scriptures here. I have a couple of things that I want to discuss. And I gave you some homework this morning, and I asked you, if you would, before you come here tonight, to read Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. And I'll have you go there and get there on your phones, get there in your scriptures. And I'm actually going to start in verse 7. It says, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, right? These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. You know, I think about that, and what does that scripture say? You know, this is Christ he's talking. He says, I am the one who is able to open ways and close ways. I'm able to do things that no man is able to do. I have this power, and I'm talking to you, and I am encouraging you, and I want you to give ear to this. Christ says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You know, I asked you just to read verse 12 there. And I want us to think about this. There is this promise before us, the Lord says, is that we are to overcome. And he says there is a place for us that is an integral part of the temple of God. And it's an invitation, and it's an encouragement, and it's a challenge to us to be a pillar, a support. You know, I'm thinking today about our brother Don. You know, we talked about this. The other day I was talking, Jared and I were visiting, and we were talking about these stories that our grandfathers have told us over the years. You know, a couple of families dedicated to come together and to, regardless of the numbers, of the situation, how far they had to travel or whatever it is, to make sure there was a place where the people could come, where they could worship, where they could take a few moments away. Take someone who's willing to be there. One of these notes I have in here is I said, you know, a pillar holds the roof. A roof is a protection. You know, we see today, we have rain coming down. You know, we were talking today. We went out, you know, twice now during this summer. We had rains, and we had so much rain that we had water back up into the church here, through this back door into the chapel and into the back classroom. Well, you know, and we're talking about it today. Joel and I are sitting there looking at it and seeing that there's water. Well, you better get some shovels and take care of that. And someone said, well, how come this hasn't happened before? And we realized that, well, it hasn't really rained like this in what, 3 years or so? And, you know, we put tons of rock back there and all that, you know, and we didn't pay a lot of attention to the way it was going to bring the water down. But, you know, we're not sitting in wet pews here today. There's not puddles here and all that. Why? Because we have a roof here that offers us protection. A place of rest. I have in here shade. Relief. Something has to hold it up. There's walls that hold it up. You know, the gospel is that. The church is that. It is a place that we can come to rest. And we can come when all of the burdens of the world and everything are there, that it's a place where we can be surrounded by our loved ones. Where we can stand up and share those difficult, those intimate, those painful burdens. And know that there are those there who will pour out their hearts on our behalf, who will look to encourage and strengthen us, who will take the time to visit with us, to hold us, to hug us, all of those things. But without pillars, without walls, there's nothing to hold that up. Think about all the years that I've heard told about, obviously before I was alive, but you know, this local here has had its ebbs and flows. Times of great success, times of great loss. In terms of membership, in terms of members passing away, people moving away, times where we were overflowing, times where we were very thin. But there was always a group of pillars whose dedication was to the Lord and to be a part of this plan that the Lord envisioned from the very beginning, that His people could come and find rest. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we consider what it is, you know, that is your part. How do you take part in this gospel, and what is it that the Lord asks? You know, this first thing, my uncle had preached this a couple of weeks ago and talking about this foundation. You know, in a pillar, if it's set upon just the regular ground, you know, you get a time where we got rain like this and it can wash it away. But, you know, we see that a pillar is built upon a foundation. And for us and for the church and for each one of us who is a believer, that foundation is Jesus Christ and His gospel. And I just want to read here 1 Corinthians 3:10-14. Paul says this. He says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. No other foundation, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And it is the fire which will try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide where he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward." You know, this foundation in everything that we do is based upon Jesus Christ. The answer to questions is based upon His Word. I found this to be true in my life, is that when there is a challenge or a difficulty that comes before me, if I look to the gospel and I use that as a guide for my answer, everything seems to work right. Because there's a foundation that's laid that no man can lay upon better. How many times in our life have we found ourselves going by our own wisdom, our own decisions, and unsurprisingly, our plans begin to crumble? Why? Because it's not built on a proper foundation. When our life, when our relationships, when our marriages, when our interactions with our children, with one another, is built upon the foundation of Christ, how we love, how we speak, how we encourage, how we admonish, how we call higher, when it's built upon that foundation, we take our place as a pillar. Something that holds up the entirety of the gospel of Christ, and everyone benefits underneath the shade, the relief, the blessing of it. It takes effort. It's difficult. A pillar bears a burden, and it's always heavy. It's always heavy. But when there's multiple pillars, they all share the weight. pillar is a support. One of these things I have written as I was thinking about it is you know, that a pillar is it as it holds up something. And in terms of a church, and I think about this, is that there's always people who are there. There must be people there, a core group, who they're there. They bring their faith. They bring their testimonies. They bring their encouragement. They bring their prayers. All of these things. And what are they doing? They're giving time in the protection of that building, in the protection of that, for others to grow, to come up to take their place. I want to read, we'll just back up here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'll go 5 through 9. It says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." You know, in this particular, if I understand everything that was happening at this time in the church in Corinth, there were all these issues going on. And because of these issues, people began splitting themselves off. Well, you know, I was taught by Paul and I was taught by Apollos and all that sort of stuff. And Paul says, all of us were here. We were simply here so that you would receive what you needed. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was the one who did it. God was the one who gave the increase. But what I also want us to think is there was always someone there whose heart and desire was there to water. You look at Paul and you look at all these writings we have, and what do you see in every one of them is that he had this yearning to go and to be with the people, to encourage and to strengthen and to be a support and a strength. Paul was a pillar. His heart's desire was to be of service to his God, to his brothers. It was something that was his heart's desire. And again, to think of our brother, it was his heart's desire. Longed to go and to help to deal with the challenges and the stresses and the difficulties of brothers and sisters in all of these places. To talk them through the tragedies of life. To encourage them through the temptations and all of those things. A pillar does this. To bear one another's burdens, as we read in the book of Galatians in the 6th chapter. It's not just an obligation. It's the pleasure. I had this conversation a couple times over the last few years from our brother Don with some of his family members. I kept asking, you know, I know he can't preach anymore. How can I use him? Can he pray? Can he do, you know, and I always, you know, I found myself over the last several months, you know, when someone would need a ministration, I want Brother Don. I know his heart's desire is to serve. And I always was a little concerned. I know he was worried about saying the wrong things and his memory wasn't great, but you know, every time I called his name and asked Brother Don to be a participant in this, jump right up. It was his pleasure to serve the Lord. Why? Because he was a pillar. I wonder sometimes, and I struggle. My phone rings in the middle of the night, or I get a text message or something, and it's not my pleasure always. Lord needs pillars in his church. Those who are willing to support and hold up, bear the burdens, give the time for others to grow. It's our responsibility. As our brother's passed, who takes his place? Oh, no one can fill his shoes, or mine, or my grandfather's, or anything like that. But who steps in? The awesome sermon that our brother Glenn Orsted preached the other day. And the Lord was looking, you know, he started with that scripture. The Lord was looking for someone who was going to be a hedge, who was willing to stand in the gap. Be willing to do the hard things. To say the hard things, to sit and bear the burdens and to labor with one another and all of those things. The Lord's calling us to be a pillar. I want to turn to Moroni, chapter 7. If you are going to be someone who is able to bear the weight of others, if you are someone who is going to be able to bear the weight of a commitment of Christ, you know, for those of you who have been baptized, to those of you recently baptized, contemplating it, there is an expectation that comes with it. One of the things that you promise is that you will be there to bear one another's burdens. You know, we came here yesterday, those who were able to, we came to mourn with those who mourned. Our sister Jodine. Quite a few of us didn't know Glenn. Well, why do we come? When we take on the name of Christ, if we want to take on the name of Christ, we take upon us these responsibilities. It's part of our promise. We are going to live as Christ did. And we see here, and I'm going to read verse 53, 52 and 53. Oh, what do I have? 51 and 52. We begin to see some of these attributes that guide someone and their thoughts and their responses and how they deal one with another. This is the example that I saw from our brother Don. In times where he offered words of encouragement or kind words of correction, which he did from time to time to me, that's what a pillar does. It says in verse 51, it says, charity suffers long. It's kind, envies not. It's not puffed up, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if you have not charity, you're nothing. For charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is a pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it may be well with them. It shall be well with them. I'm not going to go and talk about all the different things as it talks about these aspects of charity. The only thing I want you to think about is in everything that's here, we read a very similar list, and we're going to read one of Scripture there in just a moment in 1 Corinthians 13. All of these things has to do with how we look at one another, how we look at challenges, how we look at people we interact with in the world, how we look at the weaknesses of our brothers and sisters here, how we look at the strengths of our brothers and sisters here, how we interact with each other, when we rub each other the wrong way, when we're having difficulties in our marriage, when our children are not listening to us, when we see someone who is lost in sin. What does a pillar do? They suffer long. They're kind. Envieth not. Not puffed up. Seeks not her own. All of these things. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. To read this one verse. Verse 13, it says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, and the greatest of all is charity. You look at that word, abideth, it endures. These things are what endure. Faith. This belief in God, the belief in His words, that it's able to direct you and guide you, and that within it is wisdom, that if we apply it to our lives, that we are able to see the Lord working and moving. Hope. That there is a reason for everything that we do. That there is something that lies ahead of us that we can be convicted of, that makes it worth the difficulties and the stresses and the strains and the weight that comes with being a pillar. And charity, as we just discussed. A pillar is built from something that endures all of the elements. I think about this. I had thought today of bringing. I have some pieces of wood in my backyard that Andy gave me, some pretty big 6x4s made of oak. Probably not very old in terms of time and all that, but you know, they've sat out before I grabbed them out in the weather. They've been through the heat of the summer, dust blowing on them, rain from time to time, whatever else is there, you know, and you cut them, you pick them up, you all that, you know, they're very heavy, they're dense, they're thick, they're strong. I'd have no qualms about picking them up and building something that would bear a whole lot of weight. A pillar is something that endures the elements. I can remember as Jared in our morning Sunday school class, when he started it, he's going through this book of Revelations and he's showing pictures when they had gone, I think on their honeymoon to Greece and some of these places, you know, that we see referred to in the Bible. One of these things is you look at this, these places where there are these pillars, these columns from Colosseums or whatever it is. You know, they've been there for, I don't know how long, 2,000 years, maybe more, 3,000 years. Some of them, you know, they're next to the seacoast. So you've got the salt and all that sort of stuff that comes in there, and yet they stand. Many of them, you can still see the inscriptions and the carvings and all that sort of stuff in there. A pillar is something that endures the elements, has a testimony that's unshaken, that they're firm in faith and expectation. And it helps to endure the harshness of the elements. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We faint. We don't falter. We don't lose strength. We don't lose hope, despite all the things that go on. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving, might redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Throughout this chapter, I like this chapter. It touches on something that has been a theme that I've tried to talk about quite a few times in the past several years. I talk about it in my man class. I talk about it when I'm doing this, is this theme of expectation. A pillar has expectation, which helps that one, that person, that man, that woman, that believer in Christ to endure all of the elements, all of those things which this world throws out at, the persecutions, the eyes, the whispers, the frustrations, the days lacking sleep, all of those things. You know, it says here that though there's trouble on every side because of Jesus Christ, we're not distressed. We may not know the answer, We have this faith in Christ and this hope, this expectation that He knows how to bless us, how to take us through, so it doesn't cause us distress. We're perplexed without knowing, lacking understanding. We're not helpless. We're not forsaken, not destroyed. In verse 16, it says, because of this, because of all that a man of Christ, because of all of these things that Paul had experienced, because of all of these things that has brought him to this place as he's writing this, he says, because of it, I don't faint. Even though he was in prison, he was beaten, shipwrecked, all of these things, because of it, I don't faint. My outward man, it doesn't matter. Think about our brother Don. He had a pretty frustrating past 10 years or so. Hearing going. Fought to try to keep his vision going and ended up losing an eye. Memory starting to go. Think about it and I'm like, oh, I wonder how Adam would have been. There's not a person who would have, if I had your ear, you would have heard my complaints. Most I ever heard Don tell me was, he said, well, my eyes bugged me a little bit. And then he'd ask me about me. Didn't matter. Now, my outward body, it's not what matters. It's what a pillar does. Convinced and convicted of something that is beyond, something that is far more important. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 19 and maybe go just a few more. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. There's other places where it talks about a man of God, and you know, you see that Paul encourages Timothy. He says, you got to be ready all the time. When it's convenient, when it's not, in season and out of season. Whether it's somebody who has a need that you must take action for them, or whether it's a challenge that faces you. You know, I haven't found myself facing a challenge in my life yet when it's been convenient for me. Never has been. Always in an inconvenient time. Always in an inconvenient place, never prepared enough, never had enough sleep, never know the answers. The scripture says that our life is to be made to purge ourselves from those things which are not useful to the Lord. That we can be meet for the master's use and prepared for every good work, ready to go, ready to be a part, ready if the Lord says, I need someone, here I am, send me. I think I'm going to read two more scriptures and finish tonight. I'm going to go to 2 Nephi chapter 6, verse 42. So page 108, it says, behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they which have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they which have endured the crosses of this world and despised the shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be full forever. You know, I have this in this, with the scripture within this note, that a pillar is something built and it endures the elements. It has a testimony that's unshaken, firm in the faith and full of expectation, which helps it to endure the harshness of all of the elements. You know, it says here that the righteous, they believe in the Holy One of Israel, they believe in Christ. It says they've endured all the crosses of the world and weren't concerned about the shame of it. They weren't concerned about the eyes, those who made fun of them, those who persecuted them, the challenges, all of those things. Because of it, they have this full joy. Think about our brother. Think about some of the stories that we've heard, and I'm not going to recount them all, but you know, of going down into these foreign lands, and you know, it wasn't easy. It was a struggle. It was a challenge. There was danger. There was opposition. There were governments, crooked police officers, all of these things. All these things no shortage of reasons to stay home, to not speak up, to not put yourself in a place of danger, whatever it is. But you know, a pillar is not concerned about that. They know what the Lord wants, and they're willing because of their conviction to do whatever He asks. I want to read, I'm actually going to read two more scriptures, this one and one last one. I'm going to read in Helaman chapter 2. Page 557. '74 and '75. Father talking to his sons. Now, my sons, remember that it's upon the rock of our Redeemer, which is Christ, the Son of God, that you must build your foundation. That when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, when his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe because of the rock upon which you are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall. You know, today we lost one of the pillars of our local, of our church. Our brother Don was a constant for us. He was ready. He was prepared. He studied. We all have, you know, we look back at things that he spent a life studying to understand. You know, there's a testimony that he gave that I think of oftentimes. Is, you know, he says, as I was growing up, he says, you know, there's all these times. He says, you know, I believe in the Book of Mormon. And he says, you know, there's always been this effort to try to declare it to be false. And he says, you know, throughout my lifetime, there's been these times when there's been some argument, some evidence, some proof, some archaeological finding. It throws the whole thing into tailspin. And he says, you know, I learned that I would just wait on the Lord, pray. And he says, you know, next thing you know, said, you find the answer. You find that study was false, whatever it was. He says, you know, I couldn't allow all of those things that the world was trying to do to beat me down. This is because I knew in the Lord, I knew it was true. I have written here that human pillars are always subject to humanity. We're not going to be rid of it. We're always going to have these challenges. The question is are we going to stand up and are we going to take a place? So we see one of the pillars of our local pass. Who's going to carry that weight? I believe we've struggled in our local. I think we've struggled. I think some of the things that have happened within the world took us by surprise. We expected it to look different. We're still bearing some of the wounds of it, and they're healing. I think we've struggled with discouragement. I think we've struggled with some apathy. I'm hopeful that we can refocus, that we can look and see where we need to change, repent, ask forgiveness, buckle down, find joy, find zeal, find courage. I have in here who's willing to stand and bear the weight. Provide for the needs. Fight the battles. Give the testimony. Last several weeks, and even before that, we were doing song service and playing the guitar and the ukulele and all that sort of stuff, you know. Everybody's singing. I look over, Brother Don's singing. Singing loud. Patting his hand with the beat. He could hear it. He's excited. And I'll praise the Lord. Oh, everything's not perfect. Couldn't remember well. Having trouble hearing. Couldn't see very well. All of these things, but he had joy. Pillar has joy. I want to turn and I want to read again and just conclude. And I don't feel like even I've shared even what I felt this morning as I was in prayer and as I was thinking and I was just considering the life of our brother and this thought of a pillar. But maybe I've given you a couple things to think about. But I want to just reread again in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 3. Him that overcometh, that endures, that bears the weight, that is undeterred, that isn't too tired, even though we've worked all day, who comes to take up their place, to hold up the cover for those who need a little rest, for those who need a place, for those who need an ear, for those who need a place to bear their burdens out. To him who overcometh the frustration when we try to make changes within our own life and yet we still fail. We try to encourage each other when we try to call out to our children and they don't get it. To him who doesn't let that drag him down, who continues. To him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. I am I'm thankful to be able to stand and share these thoughts tonight. I'm thankful for it because I think we need to refocus. I think it's important to hear these things. There was a thought today about our brother Don. I thought about myself, and I thought, you know, I wonder. Wonder if I could be willing to do, to go, to continue, to not complain, to, you know, all of those things. I wonder. But I want to encourage us tonight to consider at least these things. This local, it's been a beacon. There was a revelation that was given, I don't know how many years ago, about this. This would be an oasis. An oasis in the desert. Some place where those could come and they could have rest. You know, it only exists if there are those people who are willing to hold it up. To bear it up. Not easy. It's heavy. Not always pleasant. There's great blessing. And I wonder what it was like this morning. When our brother passed, he stood before the Lord. But he'd been anticipating what desire is for. Crying because I miss him, but it had to be amazing. What a joyous moment. Well done. I'm going to leave you with that tonight. God bless you.